Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Hidden Hearing. Hearing problems? We've been tuning people in for over 30 years. Visit hiddenhearing.ie.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. James, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
I don't know, do you want to give your full name at this stage, James? Because we want to...
Not really, no.
Okay, so. Well, because it has to be sorted out this afternoon. It really has now. Tell us, you're in Mallow in County Cork. What's your situation, James?
Joe, I previously heard your discussion on illness benefits not being paid.
Illness benefit, yeah, we did it about 3 weeks ago, yeah. And
that's
on
right,
a number
Joe.
Of occasions before that.
And so I haven't been paid since the 4th of November.
Mm-hmm. And what is your situation illness-wise?
Oh, I'm terminally ill, Joe. I'm terminally ill with brain cancer.
And you haven't been paid your illness benefit to which you were entitled to since the 4th of November?
Yes.
And had you been paid up to that, James?
Yes, Joe.
Now, I don't know whether you heard, we heard the minister was on after we covered it on a number of other programmes, adamant. I think I heard Minister Regina Doherty at one stage talking to Mary Wilson saying it would be sorted out that weekend. That was a month ago.
Yes, Joe, I heard that interview on Mary Wilson, and she gave a good interview, and she categorically made it kind of really clear, you know. And I have been in contact with them weekly. I hand in my certs religiously into my own local welfare office, and I do phone them from the welfare office, and I've sent emails to them, and they, each person from the illness benefit department, would tell me that they escalated and deal with this immediately.
And nothing has happened in
nothing
nearly 2
happened.
Months?
No, Joe, nothing has happened.
James, when you speak to the department and
yes.
the staff, I'm sure the individual staff are very decent people, do they become aware of that your illness is terminal?
No, but I just tell them I am seriously ill.
Okay.
And, you know, I worked all my life, and I'm not in a position to work now, and it would help me with my medication and that, and, which is quite expensive, and, you know, I feel that I'm entitled. I worked all my life, and it would be of great benefit to me, you know.
Yeah. And have you anyone campaigning on your behalf or lobbying on your behalf, I suppose?
No, I lobby for myself, and I'm quite assertive, and I ring them, right. And they're extremely helpful on the phone,
okay.
I must say that. But what they did tell me, right, that their system has changed, and they have an awful lot of issues. Their system changed, and they, they apologised and everything. They were very sympathetic, and each of them said they'd do their best for me, and they're wonderful people there. I have no doubt they're under an awful lot of pressure, and that, and they're doing their best.
And when you said earlier that you have a terminal illness, you said it quite early in the conversation. Is it as blunt as that?
It is, Joe. When I was diagnosed, I was told that my illness was inoperable.
Mm-hmm.
So it will either leave well alone or else go down the route of treatment, which would make my life very miserable. And would, it would have a lot of effect. It would have no great, maybe an extension and stuff like that. But this way, with a bit of medication, without treatment, I can enjoy what I've left, what I mean? It was an inoperable tumour, and, look, every day is a plus, but I have time, like, but it's not going to get better.
And when were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed in July.
Of this year?
Yes.
And what prompted the diagnosis? Were you feeling unwell, or...? Was it a routine?
No, I was feeling well, dizziness and dizziness and fatigue and that. And I went my GP and he followed me on for tests, and I was diagnosed then when I went on for tests. It was an MRI indicated, and look, it's there, yeah. And it's not going away, and the treatment of that, you know, it was up to myself really, but to make me very sick and that, and it wasn't going to get better, you know.
Yeah.
So I am on a lot of medication, which is a great help in that. And I look, every day is a plus and a bonus to me. And I feel like, you know, this is something I could do without. You know
of
what
course,
I mean?
Of course, absolutely, absolutely. Yes, so. And how have you managed in the 2 months without your illness benefit that you're entitled to and have been receiving?
Yeah. Since I finished work, I haven't been paid, and you know, this was what came in, but I'm getting help from family. That's it, really. And as you know, when you're not working, like, there's no income, your expenses don't go away either, and your bills, they're still there. So, like, it's help from family and friends, support network. But, like, you know, this would, I feel I've paid tax all my life, and I feel that I feel entitled to it and to pay my bills, you know.
Well, let's go back to, it's a news at 1 on November the 5th, as I say, nearly 2 months ago. This is the Minister for Social Protection, Regina Doherty. They're helping a lot of calls on Liveline. They were all very similar calls, not to you, James, in the sense of this is a shocking example of it because of the nature of your illness and the progression of it, as you've been told. But people were very upset. But this is Regina Doherty, as I say, on November the 5th.
I am 99% confident that of the 55,000 customers who get a weekly payment off us, over 50,000 of them have received their correct payment this week, and the remaining 5,000 will receive it either today or over the weekend.
Well.
Yeah, I remember that interview distinctly with Mary Wilson. I've been interviewing Mary Wilson, and, you know, I know I'm not the only person being in correspondence with staff of the illness department. They've told me there's a lot of issues and, you know, it's like they're struggling to get on top of it.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, the time of year and everything, and, you know, there's people, family and kids and everything. It's just, I hope there's no one but the else in this position, because it is really, really something people could do without.
And in all the, and fair play to you, James, you say you're lobbying on your own behalf, and with your permission, we will ring the department now. If you give us your permission, we'll ring them, we'll get your full name off air and your details. But when you ring them, is there any excuse? Did they say, actually, your name is a funny name, and it's gone missing, or the file has gone missing, or there's a number missing in your PPI number? Or do they offer any excuse apart from the system has changed?
What they've said to me, every time I contact them, they said, you haven't been handing in your certs. And I said, sorry, I have.
Yeah.
And then they dig deep and said, oh, yeah, you are. Your certs are up to date. And absolutely, they're weekly, concurrently, and they're all initially what they tell me, you have no certs handed in, we cannot sanction a payment. But when they dig deeper, they do find all my certs, because I handed me through to the head office in Cork, and every day I hand them in, they're automatically uploaded onto the system. So they even showed me in the screen inside in the Cork office that they're all there. Every single cert.
James, I'm going to take a quick break, and during that break we're going to get some details off you, if possible, obviously private and confidential, between you and Laura Lee, and then we'll see, can we progress this, but I'll talk to you after the break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
James is in Mallow in County Cork, as he told us. He just rang in there at the start of the programme. There's been an issue, it's been covered in this programme and indeed other programmes, but the end that's been covered in this programme is people who were affected directly over the last 3 months, I think it's been going on at this stage. Unpaid illness benefit, a new system introduced, and we were then told, the minister then, you heard that clip on November, the beginning of November, that what was it, 50 of the 55,000 people affected are sorted out, and over that weekend the rest of the population that's waiting on this payment will be sorted out. And as James has just told you, despite the fact that he's been ringing almost every 3 days, he's still nearly 2 months later, in the week coming up to Christmas, he has not been paid. Now, James, do the Social Protection would say, well, if you're really stuck for money, would you go down to the community welfare officer? Was that angle pursued?
It was indeed, Joe. And due to my employment in circumstances, to the time I got ill, I wouldn't qualify because I had a good job before I got ill. Okay. And, you know, I wouldn't be in that category.
Okay, because the community welfare officer, it's means tested.
That's correct. I went through that process and my means didn't qualify.
Okay. And how long were you working?
I've been working 30 years.
Okay. The same job, the same...
Two different jobs, unbroken.
Okay. And what was your what was your work?
I was a quality engineer pharmaceutical.
Okay. Well, that's what you're in the capital of that. If you're in the county of Cork,
that's right. Sure. Okay. And I love my job and great colleagues and everything. And you know, I feel that it's like I'm being punished for.
And when did you have to finish work because of the tumour?
I finished work in the 1st of September.
Okay. And how did, was that on medical advice, or you just knew?
In medical advice, because my concentration levels would be quite poor.
And what's your day like now, James? You said, which is incredible, that you go down, you get your cert, you ring the department. So you've some determination, but what is your daily routine now with the illness?
I get up in the morning and have my breakfast, and I go for a small walk with my dog. I then visit my GP, and you know, I see my GP every couple of days. He checks me out, and I take my medication. I get my cert, I hand it in, and unfortunately, I end up making a call to the illness benefit department, and after that, I just come home and make contact with friends and that. Yeah. But I'm not able to drive or anything like so, because my concentration level is poor. Okay. And prone to an odd blackout, you know. So, you know, I enjoy every day that I have, you know.
And are you in any pain?
Pain. Yeah. You know, pain medication sorts the pain. Okay. But it's just I would be quite kind of listless in conversation sometimes, and I would kind of get lost in conversation, but pain medication, the medication helps the pain.
Yeah. Are you in discomfort?
I on an awful lot of medication. I get medication to help me sleep because I cannot sleep. It puts me to sleep and I wake up in the morning, and I would sleep during the day and that as well.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know...
And have you got someone coming in to you, like a carer or home help?
Yes, I have home help. And I have a wonderful family. My family are fantastic. They would do anything for me. And I feel that, you know, I try to keep my independence as long as I can. And, you know, eventually it's going to come to that I won't be able to be independent. Like, but, you know.
And what are your plans for Christmas?
My family.
Yeah.
My parents are still, thank God, and they're wonderful. And, you know, I've come from a small family. I have only one sister. She's absolutely fantastic. And, and a few nephews and nieces. We'll be a very close family, but I'm very, very close to my parents.
Yeah. And you're a young man. Your parents are still alive.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, this is a blow that has been landed upon me, and I have to accept it and deal with it. And, you know...
Your initial reaction must have been disbelief and anger, was it? That one so young should get such a diagnosis.
Why me, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just total shock. You know, total shock. Like, there's an awful lot of people ill, and they've different routes to go down to for recovery and all that. But it's the second one that there's no cure. sure, and I'm sorry we can't do it. That was actually worse than the one telling me that I was ill, you know, that there was nothing they could do.
And the second blow was what, saying that there wasn't...
Yes, yeah. You know, like this, they did offer me, they were going down of different treatments and all that, but put me through an awful lot of real difficult time, which was a kind of, you know, probably end up maybe shortening my lifetime and stuff like that, and it put me through an awful lot of pain, but this way I can use it, and I'm on medication, and it's, I know it is there. Sometimes I actually talk to it, you know, I say, what are you doing to me, why are you up there, and, you know, why me, but I'm getting counselling in that as well.
Brilliant.
And you know, there is a fabulous network out there. Wonderful.
So it is bizarre. It is, well, it's beyond belief that for 2 months you have not been paid your illness benefit. That's a significant amount of money that would help you incredibly, I suspect. James, what are your comforts in life?
Well, my comforts in life is to wake up in the morning at the moment. You know, wake up in the morning and close friends and great memories. I had a wonderful life and enjoyed it. You know, had a wonderful life, enjoyed it and stuff like that. And, you know, hope, you know, I contribute a lot to society and, you know, I'd be a very kind of easygoing person. And I think kind of quite popular in that. And I like people's company and that. And, you know, I have no regrets, you know. You know, this is, you know, I've learned to deal with it and it's there now. And, you know.
And have have you read anything or met people that have given you comfort or given you solace?
Yes, I have indeed, yes, through a support network. And I have a wonderful counsellor, and she I meet her every 10 days, and she's wonderful, and she's introduced me to different people and that. And
it's a great country.
We have fabulous professionals, so absolutely fabulous, that go above and beyond the call. And even at night time, sometimes if we once give out phone to Samaritans, and there's a wonderful people on the other side, they're absolutely wonderful, volunteering, you know, they're absolutely fantastic.
And you'd phone for when you're low,
and we sometimes you'd be on the phone for half an hour, nearly an hour, and just chatting. You know, when you'll be kind of awake and your mind would be kind of wandering,
you'd panic or you just need someone to. I can't imagine what the sensation must be for you. But.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I can wake up and go, this is not happening, then you really wake up and it is happening.
But I'm so glad that the other comforts, when I mentioned comfort, you spoke about the friends, you spoke about the organisations, you spoke about the counsellor, you spoke about the voluntary groups, you spoke about the professionals, because we are a brilliant country when people like you are faced with that horrific position that you're in and are trying to work your way through it. Tony Gillespie is in Donegal, 51551 Joe at rt.ie. We're still trying to sort it out at the other end, James, but I'll let you go in a sec, because I'm conscious of the nature of the discussion, one, and two, that you're, I don't want to keep you too tiring on the phone. Tony, your point, please.
Joe, that makes you so angry listening to that, you know, this day and age, the 21st century, and a man has to come on national radio, you know, to tell his story, you know, to try and get something sorted out, and the excuses, or whether I don't know if an excuse is the right word, that there's a lock up in the system because they changed the system or whatever.
Yeah, they changed. I see in your call, Tony, you say your daughter.
That's right. Yeah, a few weeks ago there, she got it sorted out. It was actually a local politician's office that she went to, but she was the same thing, just in and out to the social welfare office. She was on the sick for about 6 weeks or 7 weeks, and there was nothing happening, and phoning up and getting no satisfaction. And she was married, and her husband's working, and they're paying a mortgage, you know, and a young baby. And, you know, she was so frustrated and so depressed, getting down about it, you know. But anyway, it took 6 weeks or 6 or 7 weeks to sort it out. But, you know, that's country, you know, I don't know, Joe.
The core is fantastic. There's obviously a major mess in this new system. And I take your point, but we're trying to sort it out. But there is a major mess, and the department knew about it. The minister knew about it. We have that clip from the minister nearly 2 months ago saying it's going to be sorted out this weekend. And we're now into, we're now into a different month. We're nearly into a different year. Tony, thanks indeed. I want to go to Anne. Anne, that's Tony Gillespie in Donegal. Anne, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Joe. How
this
are you?
This mess with the new illness benefit, yes. Well, go ahead, Anne.
My son-in-law was on sick benefit for the month of September and October.
Okay.
It took about 5 weeks for money to come through. He returned to work on the 2nd of November. And when he checked his bank last week, he was, even though he wasn't sending in any certs, he was being paid weekly up until last week.
Ah, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So someone like James, who's been putting in certs for the last 2 months, he's not being paid, and your son-in-law, I know he was genuinely sick, but he's gone back to work, stopped sending in certs, obviously, and they're still paying him.
Yeah. Now, he went to the local social welfare office and said, what do I do? Why are you giving me money?
They said,
you need to get a final cert from your doctor. Now, the doctor had said previous, once you don't send in certs, you don't need a final cert. So he went back to his doctor, paid the fee, got his final cert, and he had to write into the somewhere in Dublin 1, I'm not exactly sure where, and say, please stop paying me. Yeah. Now, I don't know. He hasn't heard anything, to the best of my knowledge, yet. That was only a week ago.
Okay, and it's just a glimpse into the system, whatever. Whatever way that system was introduced, whatever negotiations went on, was flagged that it was going to be messy, and it has turned out to be messy. But the tragedy is that it's an illness benefit system, and obviously that speaks for itself. You've people of varying, but all out of work, so they are unwell and unwell to keep you out of work. But then we've people like James, who's in a completely different situation, tragically, with the prospect that he's been told about by his medical advisors. James, when will you go back to your GP again, or when do you have to go back?
I am back to my GP next Monday.
That's Monday. Okay. Well, as I say, and people are just gobsmacked, James. Gobsmacked that this is still happening. I think people now are going to move heaven. Well, even our listeners there are going to try and move heaven and earth to get it sorted out this afternoon, and to get your payment to you. I don't know if that's at all possible, to get the payment to you this afternoon. So at least, and for you to then to know that you're back on the computer, that you're in the system, and if you get a payment today, it means you'll get a payment next week, and you don't have to be worrying and going up and down, and you've enough burdens on your shoulders to have that one. So hopefully we can sort it out.
I appreciate that, Joe.
Okay, James, you look after yourself. Was this the fourth illness in your life in terms of the trauma of it?
Yes, Joe.
Yeah.
I've never been ill.
Yeah.
And, you know,
as you said, you worked all your life, 30 years. Was it 30 years unbroken? Two jobs unbroken. Incredible.
Yes.
Incredible. I wish you well, James. You and your family. And you mentioned your dog? Did you say you mentioned? Did you go out?
Oh, I have a little corgi dog. Yeah, he's my best pal.
Okay, what's his? He's at the park. What's his or her name? It's him. What's his name?
His name is Jerry.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry and James, stay together. Get out walking as often as you can. You obviously have great determination. And James, I wish you well, and we will be in touch hopefully later on this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you. I want to go back to the issue that has dominated all our calls, and that is the man, James, who contacted just before the programme started. He's in Cork. He's been diagnosed, unfortunately, with a terminal brain tumour. And since November, he is not, despite his gargantuan efforts, been able to get illness benefit. The Department of Social Welfare are speaking to him and have been for the last half hour, but are speaking to him as I speak to you at 10 seconds to 3. And they've discovered their mistake, they say, and James will get his payments immediately. Now, I presume immediately means this afternoon if they have to. They discovered their mistake in the Department of Social Protection and they will get James will get his payments immediately. But James, in his nature and demeanour and the way he spoke about how he's dealing with his illness and his prognosis has moved an awful lot of people and has uplifted an awful lot of people, even though he came from a very difficult situation. So we deeply appreciate his contribution to the programme. Today's producer was Fergus Sweeney. Rebecca Meehan is the series producer and Ray Darcy is next.